Maharaj Yudhishthira said, Kidrashaha, what kind of? Kasha, whose? Va, or? Shapaha, curse. Uridasa, the servant of Hari. Abhimarshanaha, overcoming. Ashadayaha, incredible. Iva, as if. Abhati, appears. Harehe, of Hari. Ekantinam, of those exclusively devoted as exalted attendants. Exalted attendants. Babaha, birth. So Maharaj, translation, Maharaj Yudhisthira inquired, what kind of great curse could affect even liberated Vishnu bhaktas? And what sort of person could curse even the Lord's associates? For unflinching devotees of the Lord to fall again to this material world is impossible. I cannot believe this. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, text 16, the Lord clearly states, Mamupecha Dukontiya Punajama Navijate. One who is purified of material contamination, returns home back to Godhead, does not return to this material world. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 9, Krishna says, Janma karma chame divyam, evam yo veti tatvataha, chaptva deham punarjanma, naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Maharaj Yudhisthira, therefore, was surprised that a pure devotee could return to this material world. This is certainly a very important question. So, Sri Yudhisthira Vacha Kidrusha Kashava Shapo Hari Dasa Vimarshanaha Ashariya Vavati Hariari Kantinam Vavaha. So, Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Gena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So, first of all, let's try to understand what a pure devotee is. Of course, a pure devotee, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, describes a pure devotee as Anyami Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navratam Anukul Yena Krishna Nushyanam Bhakti Rutanam. He says a pure devotee is shunya, completely, absolutely free of any personal desire. Jnana karma, that is desire for enjoyment, bhoga, or a desire for liberation, that's jnana, and avritam, anukulyena. But he is serving Krishna simply with a desire to please Krishna, as we mentioned yesterday, bhavatad bhakti ahoituki tvaya. He's engaged in ahoituki bhakti. Haituki bhakti means without any cause. Most of us are engaged in bhakti here because there's a reason for it, right? Our reason is chaturbada bhajanti ma. We came to Krishna consciousness because we were looking for knowledge. Or we came because we were in distress. Or we came because we were inquisitive, just was curious. Or we came because we wanted money. Or opulence. You know, sometimes people do that, just like we mentioned yesterday, that people have this Satyanarayan Katha, and they like different stories about Krishna, like the fruit seller story, or Sadama Brahman story. So this is a reason, this is a cause for their devotional service. But devotional service of Ibhum Zam Paradharma Yato Bhaktir Hokseje Hoitagiya Pratita Yatma Supersivate. Devotional service, pure devotional service, has no cause and is never stopped under any circumstance. In any case, no one can stop your devotional service. So that's pure devotional service. So someone who's on that platform can never fall down. But someone who is on a lesser platform can fall down. There's the potential. For example, you find in the analysis given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of anarthas, because anarthas actually are what causes us to fall down. Anartha means unwanted things. We've spoken about that many times, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, kamakrodha, manamatsarya, borya, vaya. So these are anarthas, and of course we described the other day how anarthas come from, actually we'll talk about that tonight too, so I'm not going to mention it. But anyway, anarthas come from various sources. So according to one's degree of Krishna consciousness, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one becomes relatively free of different types of anarthas. And even at the stage of bhava, which is preliminary to prema, one doesn't have anarthas, but one is not absolutely free of anarthas. There's a difference. You can have no anarthas, but not be absolutely free of anarthas. So that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? So absolutely free means it can't come back. No anarthas means it can come back if you're not careful. You have to be careful. So a typical example of someone on the platform of bhava who had no anarthas, but he wasn't attentive enough and the anarthas came back and he fell down, was Bhart Maharaj. You've all heard of Bhart Maharaj. So Bhart Maharaj, of course, he was on the platform of bhava. How do we know he's on the platform of bhava? Well, Bhagavatam describes that he was on the platform of bhava. And it describes his symptoms of bhava. You know, symptoms of bhava like Mahaprabhu Kirtanam Richagitavati Thrumadhyam Manaso Rasena, which means that when you hear Krishna Kirtan or Gauranga Kirtan, then you start shaking in ecstasy. Tears come from your eyes like torrents of rain. That's a symptom of bhava. Of course, bhava is quite a science, or at least can be analyzed as a science by the acharyas. And there's different types of bhavas. And there's uncontrolled bhavas, and there's bhavas that you can control. Bhava means, of course, emotions. Of course, most of us right now are on the platform of bhava rogue. You know what bhava rogue means? Diseased emotions. Like when we hear a Bollywood song, we go, oh, isn't that nice? And we shiver in ecstasy, right? Not me, but the rest of you. You shiver in ecstasy, oh! Or you see some famous person. Anyway, or you get scared. Just like there's a story in the Jiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was one devotee who tried to renounce this world and became a Babaji, and he was good after a while. But in the beginning, he was chanting in his kutia, and then there was a snake there. And he just started shivering, got scared of the snake, and ran to another Babaji and said, "There's a snake coming!" And the Babaji said, "If you're actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, you wouldn't be scared of snakes." Just like Haridas Thakur, he was chanting in a cave and there was a big snake there, and the snake had such bad breath that nobody could come to see him. But he wasn't scared. So a devotee is avaya sattva samshadi jnana yoga vavastati. That's actually a devotee. He's free of all fear. A prabhupada, of course, is called avaya chananadavinda. One has become free from fear by taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. So that's a symptom. That if you have fear, you're not on a very high platform of devotional service. If you're afraid, what's going to happen tomorrow? what's going to happen if I don't have enough money? What's going to happen if there's a cyclone here? What's going to happen? What else happens here? If there's a coup, then you're not on a high platform of devotional service. And a high platform is Avaya Shabba Sham Shuni, Yana Yagala Vastati. Anyway, so getting back to Bharat Maharaj, he was on a very high platform of devotional service, but he wasn't attentive enough to guard against anarthas or illusion. And what happened? We know that he found a little baby deer whose mother had died, and he took care of the baby deer, which is okay. You should take care if you find a baby deer. There's no deer here, I teach you. So anyway, if you find a baby deer, take care of it. But he became attached to it, to enjoying it. That's the difference. It's one thing to care for someone, but it's another thing to try to get one's own enjoyment from someone else or something else. Just why do people want to take care of a baby deer? Because a deer is cute. Would anyone want to take care of a baby cockroach? Any of you? No. You know, none of you have baby cockroaches. But you like to take care of something for your own sense of gratification. It's not love. You know, love means that you're taking care of someone else or serving Krishna for no personal motivation. So that's why people like to have certain types of pets, right? People have dogs here sometimes. Even in India, people have dogs. You know, we were taking a walk on the beach in Juhu, which is near our temple. And all these people, the rich people in India, were walking with their little dogs, waiting for their dogs to pass stool and cleaning up afterwards. No, in India they don't clean up. So, in the West, they do. In the West, you're supposed to carry, if you go walking on the street, you're supposed to carry a little, what's called a pooper scooper, which is a shovel, you know, to pick up the dog stool. So, because people want to enjoy the animal. It's not that they love the animal. They want to enjoy it. So, anyway, so Bharat Maharaj, she wanted to enjoy the deer. And as a result of that, he neglected his spiritual practices, became attached to the deer, and everybody knows that he became a deer in his next life. And then after that, he learned his lesson. No more taking care of baby deers. And actually, in life after that, he was so cautious that he acted stupid so no one would engage him in material affairs. Sometimes pure devotees do that. I mean, sometimes devotees will act stupid. Like you have, he was called Jagbharat, of course. But there's a type of yoga called Jada Yoga, where one acts stupid so that nobody will love you or appreciate you. And you can become detached. Like Rishabdev did that. Lord Rishabdev did that. And sometimes some of the Jains try to do that too, following in Rishabdev's footsteps. Arhat's footsteps, actually. And that's called Jada Yoga. That means dumb yoga. We just act dumb. So he was so cautious about falling down that he acted stupid. He acted so stupid that his brothers put him out in the field as a scarecrow, you know, to scare all the birds away. And he was so stupid that he was going to be offered to the... acted so stupid that he was going to be offered to the goddess Kali by some dacoits. And of course, the dacoits learned their lesson because he was a pure devotee of the Lord by that particular time. And what happened is the goddess Kali came out of the deity along with her associates and cut off all the dacoits' heads and drank their blood. So he acted stupid until he came across Maharaj Rahugana. And Maharaj Rahugana, he was carrying the chariot, the palanquin of Maharaj Rahugana, and Maharaj Rahugana had a discussion with him, and he was able to speak nicely. That's why Prabhupada said that you can't tell the difference between a fool and a learned person or intelligent person until they open their mouth. You know, they look nice from the outside, but once they open their mouth, you can tell. And Prabhupada told a story in that regard. He said, this is from the Hitopadesh. He said, once upon a time, there was a jackal. You don't have jackals here, but anyway, a jackal is a wild dog. If you ever go to India, to Mayapur, there's all these jackals. They're like hyenas. They cry at night. And they're wild dogs. I mean, they bite and everything. So this jackal is normally not considered so auspicious or prominent. But one day, this jackal went into a village, and there was a can of paint, and he knocked the can of paint, and it colored him a nice purple or blue color. So he looked really good. You know, that's just like sometimes people are ugly and they do plastic surgery to look a little better. You know, they change their nose or something. So this jackal, he had makeup, you know, like the ladies do that every morning. They put makeup up to make themselves look good, you know, with cudgel and everything like that. Anyway, so jackal, he looked interesting. And all the other animals in the forest, they looked at the jackal and they thought, wow, he's very special. We've never seen anyone like him before. And they began to worship him. Even the king of the jungle, that of course is the lion king, the king of the jungle was worshiping the jackal, and they put the jackal up on the Vyasasana or the throne. And they were worshiping this jackal. And they thought he was very special. But then, what happened is it became dusk, that the sun went down, and the jackals all started to cry. And so all the other jackals started to cry, and this jackal started to cry. In other words, he opened up his mouth. And as soon as he opened up his mouth, they understood he was a jackal. And then the lion understood that he had been cheated from his position, and the lion began to chant the prasadam prayer, Sharira Vijayad. And the poor jackal got eaten. Jackal prasad. So the point is, that's why Jodh Bharat was quiet. And he spoke, and then you can understand who was intelligent by their speaking, not by how they look. Don't be confused with how they look. Anyway, so Jodh Bharat, getting back to the point, Jodh Bharat was on the platform of Bhava, and he could fall down. So what does that mean? Very few of us are on the platform of Bhava. How do you know you're on the platform of Bhava? Basically, every time you hear Hare Krishna, you start feeling ecstasy. Every time you see a peacock feather, it reminds you of Krishna, and you faint. It's like one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mukunda. He was talking to the Muslim king, or the Muslim Nawab, which is the person in charge, and he saw the peacock fan that the servant was using to fan the Muslim. And when he saw that, he immediately remembered Krishna and he fell down to the ground. And he told everybody he was having an epileptic fit, but actually it wasn't. So that's how you know you're on the platform of Bhava. So probably we're on a lower platform. Of course, the platforms are described, adho, sadatata, sadhusandota, bhajanakriya. You know, this initial platform where you first come in contact with Krishna, it's nice, we trust it. Then you begin associating with the devotees, and then bhajana kriya, you begin to execute devotional service. Then you start to get rid of your anarthas, which we mentioned before. Then you become steady. Then after that, you get a taste, ruchi. After that, shakti, you become detached from the material world. Anyway, so we have to understand what platform we're at. And if we're not on prema, be careful. Prabhupada said, in a very interesting way, he said, but the problem with you Western boys and girls, of course, you're all Western, and you're all boys and girls, because you're not in India anymore. And even India is Western right now. If you go to Delhi or Mumbai, it's like going, it's worse than going to New York now. Because people are trying to imitate the West. You know, imitate what they think is good and is actually bad. Monkey see, monkey do. You ever heard that before? Like the monkeys, they imitate each other. Have you heard that? Monkey see, monkey do. So, you watch one monkey do something, and they go, and they, you know, they, I don't know if you ever, you don't have monkeys here. But in India, we have a lot of monkeys. If you go to Govardhan and you're walking around the hill, you have to be careful about stepping on the monkeys. Because there's so many of them there. Anybody here been to Govardhan? Yeah, some of you, yeah. Isn't there so many monkeys there? Too much. And the monkeys take your glasses away, and they trade them for bananas, or trade them for whatever they're going to trade them for, take your camera away. One time I was with someone, and he had his camera on his neck, and the monkey climbed up the straps, you know, the camera straps, like this, and he's looking him in the face like that. Give me your camera. So that's monkey see, monkey do. Anyway, so therefore, if we're not on a high platform in devotional service, one of the, you know, not even on Baba, which you can fall down from, what to speak of prema, we have to be very careful. That's why Prabhupada said, you know, you boys and girls have to be very, you have to be afraid of Maya, not enough afraid of Maya. So we have to be very afraid. What does that mean? Not that we're shaking all the time. That means that we're careful what we eat, because what you eat, you are what you eat, so to speak. If you eat food cooked by a non-devotee, guess what happens? Your mind becomes wicked. Look what happened to Grandfather Bhishma. Dronacharya, Kripacharya. They were devotees. Grandfather Bhishma was a Mahajan, a great, great devotee. That doesn't mean, it's not like us. We may be little tiny devotees. He was a great devotee, Mahajana. And so Grandfather Bhishma, he was on the wrong side of the Battle of Kurukshetra because he had eaten food from Duryodhana's kitchen. Prabhupada said that. So we have to be really careful what we hear, what we see, who we associate with. Like Prabhupada said, if you go to a bar, you'll become a drunkard. Right? Whoever your friends are, then you start to associate with them, and you do the same thing as them. So we have to be careful. Not crazy. Not that we walk around with blinders in our eyes. But we have to be very, very careful of bad association. A satsanga chag, a Vaishnavachar, Lord Chaitanya said that's the first quality of a Vaishnava. A satsanga chag, to give up bad association. So, anyway, so that's one point. So, as far as the point made here in the verse, a pure devotee does not fall down. Once one goes back to the spiritual world, there's no question of falling down, because you have to be a pure devotee to go to the spiritual world. You can't go to the spiritual world unless you're a pure devotee, because you won't be happy there. Can you imagine, with all of your desires, if all of a sudden you end up in the spiritual world and everything has to be based on pleasing Krishna and, you know, no mobile phones and no boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever problem you have here. So, no Daruka, anyways. Or there may be Daruka, but you offer it to Krishna. So, I mean, it's just, you wouldn't be happy there. So that's why you can't go back to the Godhead unless you're an absolutely pure devotee, because you wouldn't be happy, and you're going to be a troublemaker there. It's like if you have someone in the temple who eats meat. I mean, it just doesn't work out very well. So, therefore, you have to be an absolute pure devotee. And once you're an absolute pure devotee, you're absolutely free of anarthas and you have no chance of falling down. So why did these two particular individuals fall down? The reason is that it was a pastime of the Lord. It wasn't really a fall down. They were serving the Lord in a particular pastime, just like the story of the Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha, where you have Tulsi and Saddam cursed to come down to the material world. It's a pastime. Otherwise, there's no falling down. So then the other question is raised, how did we get here in the material world? You know, if there's no fall downs from the spiritual world, how did we get? And that's an interesting question. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it's impossible to understand. Sometimes, yes, we chose to come here. That's true. I mean, we can understand that. We can understand Krishna Bahirmukha. We turned our face, Bahirmukha, outside, away from Krishna. That we can understand, yes. But exactly where we were before, what we were doing before we came, well, we were Krishna conscious to a certain extent, Prabhupada said. Hare Krishna. Hare Bhakti. So Prabhupada said we were originally Krishna conscious entities. So somehow or other we came here. And so we don't worry about how we came here or where we came from. We worry about getting out. Prabhupada gave the example of one is drowning. Let's say you fall off of a boat. Sometimes people go on these cruise ships and someone falls off. It's not that you're there in the water thinking, how did I fall off? Did someone push me? Or was it wet on the deck of the boat? Or did I faint because I ate too much prasadam? You know, whatever. You don't think about that, do you? You just think, help! Help! Save me. So Prabhupada said that's what we should do. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Jiva Dharma, it's a waste of time to try to figure out how we came to this material world. But we can understand, once you go back, punajanma naiti mamiti sojana, once you go back to the spiritual world, you don't come back again unless you're coming back to serve the Lord in some capacity. Like Prabhupada, he was in the spiritual world. He tells a story. And Krishna said to him, come to the material, go to the material world, not come, but go to the material world and write some books. And Prabhupada said, in a joking way, he said, Prabhupada said, what? I don't want to go there. And Prabhupada said, and Krishna said, yes, you go. And so that's called the Shaktivesh Avatar. An avatar means, the word avatar means to come down, to cross down. Avatara. Tara means to cross. Ava means down. So that's an avatara. And also there's different types of avatars. There's guna avatars, there's manvantara avatars, there's purusha avatars, there's lila avatars, there's yuga avatars. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, exactly all the avatars. But the Shaktivesh avatar is a person who's given the power, and he may come from the spiritual world to carry out a specific function of the Lord. Like Prithu Maharaj was a Shaktivesh avatar. And Prabhupada, of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So they come for a mission. So if we go back to the spiritual world, Krishna may ask us to come here for a mission. That's all right. That's all right. Because Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashna Bibhyati Swargapa Varga Narakeshu Apituri Artha Darshana. Because if you're a pure devotee, wherever you go, you're doing the same thing. That's the statement given in the Bhagavatam. Narayana Paraksarve Nakutashna. The topmost devotee of Narayana, he sees everywhere the same, whether it's heaven or hell or back to Godhead. He doesn't care because he can serve Krishna. All he wants to do is mama janmani janmani bhavatad bhakti eat whey. There's only one place he won't go. That's the Brahmajyoti. He's not going to go and merge into the Brahmajyoti because there's nothing to do there. He can't serve Krishna. He's just floating around. But everywhere else, he will go to serve Krishna. And he's happy. So that's the point. So we should aspire for that position. The phone. Everyone's mobile phone goes off. At least once for every class. Right? That's the standard. That's the devotional standard. Okay, so any questions or comments? Questions, comments, arguments, problems?
Okay, I was going to say something regarding the eating.
Eating.
We should avoid strictly from meat eaters.
From meat eaters, yes.
And non-vegetarians.
And non-vegetarians and people who have demoniac consciousness. Sex, may be drinking vegetarian alcohol. But, you know, for preaching, yes. Obviously. You know, if they're not devotees. But if it's not for preaching, it's just for our own sense gratification, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. So Prabhupada would do that. He would go over to, and if people were not vegetarians, he would just take fruit. At their house.
Yeah, that reminds me another little bit extension to this.
Yeah.
With this theme, we were in Mumbai, maybe at some Gujarati territory.
Yeah.
In Mumbai, some Mumbai territory. We eat some. Upananda was there, as the city do. So we all of a sudden we eat in the dal or some garlic.
That's funny. That's funny. Yes. So one has to be careful. And also, you know, pure devotee like Prabhupada can do things sometimes that we should be careful about. Because Prabhupada, as an absolutely pure devotee, there's no question of anarthas ever coming back. That's another point. Like a pure devotee can go into a liquor store and preach, not to drink liquor. Like Nityananda, yeah. Actually, there's an interesting story in Chaitanya's pastimes how Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya went to the house of a Shakta, and they were on their way to see Advaitacharya. And the Shakta fed them nice vegetarian food. And then after the meal, the Shakta, I mean, some